Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Maverick Talk. We are listening to the National Association of Black Women and Professionals, and I am the founder of the
Good morning. Good morning. So glad to be with all of you this morning. We have a very, very exciting show for you this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Karima. Are you there? Good morning, Karima. Good morning. Good morning. Well, good morning, callers. You are listening to NAPWIC Talk. We are the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black Women in Construction. And today we have a very special guest joining us today. Her name is Karima Ali of the National Association for Women of Color in the Construction Industry. Karima, I think your phone may be on mute. Can you hear us? Good morning. All right, well, we're experiencing some technical difficulty here this morning, but we're just going to go on and have
Good morning. I'm so sorry. Good morning. My phone was on mute.
Yes, I thought you were maybe on mute because I was on mute in the very beginning. So we're going to, for those dedicated listeners that listen to us every week, as you know, this is live radio, and we are on the favorite radio show. For many individuals around the world, which is Blog Talk Radio. And with that being said, you know, we do have at sometimes technical difficulties. So, Karima, I was also on mute at the very beginning of the show, and I was just 1 second from going and playing a pre-recorded show. and then just rescheduling it. So we want to thank our dedicated listeners for hanging in here with us as we experience that minor technical difficulty. So we'll start again by welcoming you to the show, Karima. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah,
thank you. And because you've done the Blog Talk Radio show before, you know the ins and outs and the good, the bad, and the ugly. But you know at the end of the day, it is about service above self and hanging in here until we get it right. So we have it right now. We have you on live, and we'd like for you to please share with our callers and listeners a little about who you are and what you do. And, again, welcome to Nail with Talk.
Oh, great. I mean, I'm very ecstatic to have gotten an email from you guys. Founder is an outstanding woman, and I just want to give you all congratulations to what you're doing for women, specifically black women in construction. So just it's a wonderful opportunity to try to piggyback on some of the things that have taken place throughout the country when it comes to women of color and black women in construction. So it's great to have more and more opportunities like this for women to be able to go to an archive show and see that there's continuity within our industry. There's soldiers out there, there's generals, and there's colonels, and then there's presidents like Miss Ann. And so we're very ecstatic to be a part of that. But a little bit about Karima. Our organization, or our company, is called the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction, and I'm one of the co-founders of the organization. It was founded by myself, my mom, and my sister. We are, by trade, I'm a concrete finisher by trade, and as I've gotten older, my discipline has been in civil engineering. My sister, Janora Bowen, is a robotics engineer. She started as a concrete finisher like myself in Chicago, working in the apprenticeship program years ago. And my mom also owned a construction company and does still to this day. And so we're second-generation business owners as well. And we've just seen the industry go from, you know, zero black women to quite a bit women involved in construction. So we've seen a change over the past 25 years, being a part of construction in the field for so long, you know, in the dirt, I call it. I love it. I love being outside and watching trees come down and foundations go in and buildings go up. And the key thing is being in concrete and in site work, we know where all the new stores are before anybody else did. So I get an inside track on everything, what's being built, what's going to be on sale, and when it's going to be done. So it's been a good experience for me to be involved in construction over the years.
Well, that's amazing. I personally celebrate 40 years in the industry myself each year, and so just listening to you just started to bring back memories of days gone by, but it's so encouraging to hear that you are second generation, and you and your sister, so it's an entire family, and so we want to congratulate you and honor you and everything that you've done and paving the road for so many of us coming behind you. So thank you, and over the years I've heard of you, and it's a pleasure to meet you at least by phone. So what I'd like to do now is go to our next question, which is how important do you feel it is that we have an understanding about workflow in terms of management as a woman-owned business in this industry?
You know, that's a great question. I know that a lot of people don't understand this, but you really, as an owner, need to understand how the project runs, not just in your task and what you do, but every division of work that is conclusive to the project, because there's critical points that will jeopardize what you need to be doing. So a lot of times we're blindsided that, let's say, that we're doing just the drywall. Whatever critical stage that happens between the drywall time frame and when the concrete is poured, A lot of times you want to make sure that you understand that you need to be at every project meeting, make sure you review every project note, because it's a critical time where they may accelerate the contract on you. And understanding that you don't know that, and your order for your drywall may have to come in right around the time that they're actually pouring the slab, because they may want to just do the they might want to just top the entire slab off and enclose the building and not worry about certain things. So workflow and understanding from the site development all the way to the end and substantial completion, that is so important. And a lot of us think that we just should be trade specific, and it's very difficult, because that is how those are some of the pitfalls that we've experienced in being blindsided. And you only have so much time on a project. So you got to know what your critical time frames are in the workflow. So the workflow development is crucial to just your profits and being successful.
All right. Now, so Karima, what if you have a bad experience in not understanding that? How do you bounce back on the project if you experience something that's not advantageous for your business?
Well, I think a lot of times it's always conducive for people to get to know the don'ts of the project. Some of the things that I would say is we've experienced that where we kind of lost a lot of money because we were blinded by our own selves. It was not having to do anybody else. But the main thing is that you sit down with the team that you have and you reiterate and you get some additional training involved in the development of your company, which is management. You know, you need to make sure management, project managers are talking to the estimators. The estimators are talking to the superintendent. The superintendent is talking to the people that are there in the field that day working. So it's the communications level of your company that you have to knock that out and just bounce back from it, because it happens. This is why it's important to continue to have the type of training that NABWIC offers. I saw that you guys are very heavily in working with the Florida DOT, and that it allows people to become self-educated within that. So it's something that I think is important, is continue to be educated when something like that happens, something that you guys truly offer down there.
Well, you really take us now to the next question I have, and that is, how do you gain project experience in entering the trade or the market, especially as an historically underrepresented people that we are as African-American women in this industry? How do you really gain the experience, you feel?
Well, I can tell you what I did. I'm going to say this. I used to think that every little girl poured concrete. You know, I was pouring concrete when I was 12 years old running a Bobcat. So I found it to be something that was a norm growing up in it. But I realized everybody don't have a backhoe or a Bobcat in the backyard like we did. So, you know, I think what I saw with other women that I saw in the trade is that it's critical to try to become anything on a construction site. And it doesn't make a difference what it is. You know, I started off with my dad back in the pickup truck, taking concrete tickets and understanding that. So it's about being able to get your foot in the door in any capacity, even from an office standpoint. The crucial thing is if you want to get in the industry, the way the industry now works, we're into green technology. So there's so many things that we can be involved in as women, especially with lead projects. And I would say this, there's lead administrative assistants. Those are great jobs for women, because it's all about paperwork. It's all about administrative duties. That's something that we're very good at as women. We're very organized. So getting involved on the ground floor in the administrative side and becoming self-taught is one way. The other way is the way that I did it. I walked on a job site and pretty much said, I'm a woman. I want to work out here. So that was some of the things that I did to get involved. And that's forceful, but then you can also become educated. Again, some of the things that you guys are doing down there, and I commend you all, is that you are starting to teach and put this industry in the elementary and junior high schools, and letting young people know from an early stage that these are available, that these careers are available. So it's a seamless situation. And, you know, what you guys do and what a person can do. So
thank you. Thank you for that. And just wondering, and you mentioned earlier in your introduction about your sister and your mom. Now, are the three of you still working together in the industry, or is your mom retired, or what's the status of the family in the business?
Well, let me say this. Anybody that got a black mama ain't never retired. So I don't need me trying to sit here and act like that woman. Now, she's retired from the United States Post Office now, but if she retired from calling me 6-7 times a day trying to figure out what we're doing and how we're doing it and fussing, no. No, I don't think that's going away no time soon. I can officially say that she still has the ham. Or she has me and my sister and my brother under control. So, yeah, we're still doing the. That's all we know to do. She's in charge. I sometimes pretend that I'm the boss when she's not around, but it's a fantasy. But yes, the Janor has a contract out in North Dakota, doing robotics engineering project out there. The company is really, really, grown to this huge intricate information technology dream deal. This kind of metaphor, it's kind of morphed itself. So yeah, we're all together. We talk quite a bit on the day to day. I get screamed at a lot. I really run the operations. And my mom, she's 68 now, and my mother is still able to go do drywall, mess with people on concrete pours. It's awful.
Excellent. Now, you also mentioned something about robotic engineering. Can you share with us a little about that?
Yeah, we were kind of, the way that my parents reared us is that I was always a sight person. My sister was always in mechanical, electrical, and plumbing. So that was her thing. You know, she dealt with that part, and I dealt with all the site work and concrete. So Janor, she's a professional college student. So let's just put that out there. This girl has more degrees and more certifications than most people. So she started off with Chicago Women in the Trades, like we all did in Chicago. And she became one of those people that always wanted to be certified in something different. And so she she was in Milwaukee, and she was got a scholarship in engineering, and she took up robotics engineering because, as we know, the industry has changed. The manufacturing jobs are being shipped overseas because of robotics engineering. So the firm realized that some of those jobs are going to come back towards the United States. And so what we did was, again, Janor's a professional college student. She took the disciplines and graduated out of Minnesota and has a robotics engineering degree. And we have a small contract out in North Dakota to work with somebody who does work for the federal government. And they needed a minority female that played golf and tennis and all the things that black women don't normally do.
Absolutely. A friend of mine and I were just talking about golf this morning, and it does play a major role in building those relationships. Now, do you play the game of golf also?
I'm putting now. I'm putting. I got a picture that I'm about to put on Facebook. I can tell you, ladies, it is a part of you that it will work you to death. So I'm starting to go to a golf clinic right now, and I'm going to say something. That is very crucial in doing business in this industry, because those deals are made out there on the golf course. Please believe that. It is the truth. And so, yeah, we my sister plays pretty well, and I'm getting there. Because this is about building social networks. This is about letting other males know that you understand their mythology. You understand the things that allow them to make you feel comfortable, and make them feel comfortable. You know, a lot of males like to golf, and a lot of females need to start golfing because that's when we can take some time out. You know, playing golf for 4 hours is very crucial to health wise. I mean, it's something to deal with, but it also allows us, because we can't get rich and be stressed out and have a stroke. We got to do something to really relieve ourselves at the same time and still be in a position to make money.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to take a short commercial break and just let all of our listening audience know that you are listening to NABWIC Talk. We are the voice of Black women in construction, and our special guest today is Kalima Ali with the National Coalition of Women in Construction, Women of Color. Now, Kalima, wanted to ask another question. I also want to let our listening audience know, if you have a question and you're on hold listening in on your cell phone, just press 1 on your keypad and we will open your lines for questions. Now, Kalima, I have another question for you, please, and that is, how important is it to have a staff that includes a skilled estimator versus a project manager? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, that's a great question. And like I said, the reason why I think it's so important, that's actually the job that I was giving after they realized I couldn't paint and I couldn't do electrical and I really couldn't do plumbing. And so Mom made me the estimator for the company. So I've been the estimator for 20-plus years. And estimating is the same thing about understanding workflow development. A project manager is not trying to put project managers down, but project managers deal with administrative management of the project. The estimator deals with every aspect of that. Estimating is crucial. We do a lot of networking, but if you can't provide a prime contractor or whomever with a very detailed understanding, because you get one time for presentation. The estimate is the crucial part of how we have been successful, because we spent a lot of money on software. And a lot of the major companies respect the fact that you're investing in your own company. So I carry MC Square as an estimating software. It's the number one software in the world. And it has allowed us to be on major projects because we can communicate with the estimator. The estimator is probably the last person that loses their job in most companies, because that is the only way that you're going to be successful. Estimating is crucial for the owner to understand where his money's coming from or her money's coming from, because we understand the overall cost to do business. You know, it's so crucial to let people know that you spend a lot of time networking, but estimating and learning the estimating trade is a great thing also, again, for what you guys are doing down there for young girls, because those people, those folks are, you know, we're very crucial to the company, because if you can't bid, you can't win, you're not in business.
Absolutely. Now, we do have a question from my co-host this morning, Lisa Colon Herring. Good morning again, Lisa.
You must be muted. Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
I was on mute. I'm sorry. I was saying thank you very much. It's been an enlightening discussion. My question has to do with what we've experienced in our economy recently. We know that we've just come out, or we're coming out, of the greatest recession this country has seen in a while, and the construction industry was deeply impacted. And I think if you drill down into that, minority contractors were even greatly impacted by the recession. How was your company affected, if any, during the Great Recession, and what lessons did you learn from that experience moving to take moving forward?
That's a great question. There's a lady that owns a bank called Legacy Bank in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She and 10 other women started this black female-owned bank there. And we were on a conference call 4 years ago, and she said, ladies, do not turn down anything during this recession. Tell people that you do everything. We diversified our portfolio into anything across the board to continue to stay open. IP asset management is crucial in this new lead-generated industry. So we emerged ourselves, to answer the question more directly, we emerged ourselves in green technology because the industry had to change. It had to die in order to get rid of all the maggots, and that's the word I'm going to use, because everybody was a contractor once upon a time. Everybody that had a 2x4 was a contractor. So there was no accountability. And the country was building out of control, wasting more energy, material, things of that nature. So it had to happen. You know, we have a lot of real estate that has been built, that's been shoddy, because the skills are not there. So it's a blessing for women-owned businesses now to be able to go back in and do assessments of all these different properties, that commercial and residential, to do, you know, to convert those into green energy efficient projects. So green efficiency, in terms of what the federal government has made, President Obama, you know, has been put in place, that all the buildings in the United States that's owned by the federal government will be energy efficient by 2014. We allowed ourselves to morph ourselves into a green industry, basically. So it's a great turning point that the industry did crash. It had to happen. I've seen downturns before, but every time there was a downturn, there was a pickup. So the survival for us was getting involved with the global movement of green technology, involving, you know, new techniques and building new tasks in our company, which we, you know, we have a green energy division that deals with solar, deals with energy efficiency, energy auditing. So that's what we did. We diversified and we converted a part of the company that already dealt with some form of sustainability. So that's what we did. It really helped get rid of a lot of the people that were working irresponsibly. And it's given women opportunity because, as I said before, it gives women opportunity to do things that we're very good at, and that's administratively do things that brings accountability to projects. So I think that if I answered that question.
Yes, thank you.
All right, and we are at the top of the hour and preparing to close our show. Karima, are there any final comments that you'd like to share before we wrap up the show?
I think you guys are doing such a wonderful job. I was able to peruse some of the shows that you've done. I just want to congratulate you all. I think that shows like this and what you've done in the past allows a footprint. And if the main thing is that every one of us, our earth, is creating a footprint for another little young girl that might be looking for answers to get involved with the construction industry. So I'm very, very delighted in being a part of this particular show and anything that the coalition can do to continue to help and support NABWIC, we will certainly be available.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. Now, how could someone reach you if they're interested in contacting you?
Just shoot us an email at ncwcc08@yahoo.com. And that's pretty much the easiest way. Just shoot us an email.
Okay. All right.
We're very happy to be here.
All right. Well, so happy to have you today. And we will look forward to staying connected because, again, it is truly service above self in terms of, like you said, you know, teaching young girls and young women about the different opportunities that exist in the construction industry. And actually, we have more opportunities afforded to us than most of our male counterparts. So thank you for joining us today and everyone who's listening in live and those who will listen by downloading the shows in the future. You are listening to NABWIC Talk, and we are the National Association of Black Women in Construction. And today we have been inspired and encouraged by listening and talking with Karima Ali of the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction. And with that, we're going to say we'll see you next week on the radio. Thank you. All right, goodbye.